The next matter, number 22-1761, Milk Industry Regulatory Office of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico versus Luis Manuel Ruiz Ruiz. At this time, would counsel for the appellant please introduce himself on the record to begin?
May it please the court, my name is Edward Hill and I represent ORIB, which is the Spanish acronym for the Puerto Rico Milk Industry Regulatory Office. According to this court's warning in Cornoyer, the plain statutory language of 362b4 indicates strongly that the automatic stay should not be used as a shield against the application and enforcement of valid state and local laws. ORIB, a Puerto Rico state agency, was enforcing a judgment obtained within its police power, within a police power action against Luis Ruiz, that included both the revocation of his milk producer license and the loss of his right to own milk production quota. The bankruptcy court below has shielded Luis Ruiz.
No, I'm sorry, I'm tripping. In reviewing this case, I was trying to figure out how a stay against any kind of disposition of the quota would be prejudicial to the state in any way.
Well, that's one of the issues in the public policy consideration. The courts below look at the cessation of the bad acts, and they reason that because the bad acts stopped, the quota is free from the state's reach. The judgment obtained within the Puerto Rico system, remember that it is an administrative body that is reviewed by a state intermediate court, and then it went up to the Supreme Court of Puerto Rico. And there were several remedies. Two of the remedies deal, one with the revocation of the license, and another of the remedies is the order to dispose of the property.
Right. That's the one I want you to focus on.
Right.
I don't understand why staying that order is a necessary part of the police powers, such that that not staying it would work to the detriment of the public good.
Well, that's, if I'm understanding your question, and I'm not positive that I am, the idea is that both of the effects of his bad acts, the state is interested in the effect of both of those effects, right? The effect of the revocation, the effect of the loss of the quota. See, if I take a step back, perhaps.
In other words, if we treat them as divisible with, you know, an understanding that someone who engages in, you know, illegal milk sales should have their license revoked, that's one thing. But there's a separate issue about a commodity.
Right,
as to why that shouldn't be part of the bankruptcy estate.
Because that property isn't shielded in a sense. And for instance, this court in Cornoyer said exactly that. There was a Rhode Island action against property that was within the bankruptcy estate. There was an order against that property by the Rhode Island judiciary. There was confiscation and even extraction of that property by state actors, and they were put in, for instance, in Cornoyer, they were put in a lot that was under the control of a local agency, of the township, right? And this court said that all of those actions that indeed go against the rest of the estate were shielded by the exception in 362b4. Right, so we have, in this case, quota and license are inextricably intertwined. That is, that.
And it's right, is that, do the regulations make that clear?
Yes, the act.
When you suspend or revoke the license, part of the execution of that judgment is the disposal of the quotas.
Yes, Your Honor, that is the judgment, that is the judgment, right? But Act 301 and the regulations that are quoted in our brief, in order to be a licensed producer, you need to have a minimum amount of quota, right? And in order to be a producer, you need to have that license.
Can we talk to follow up on Judge Thompson's question?
Yes.
In Cornelier, it was crystal clear that the proceeds of the sale of the property being disposed of would go into the bankruptcy estate. What about this case? Now obviously if Mr. Ruiz had managed to sell his quota in the first 60 days as required, that would have not been a problem.
Right.
What if you all wind up doing the auction?
Right, and that's what the purpose of, that's
where does the money go?
That was stopped, okay. So in order to answer the question, I have to go back to the regulations. This case, the quota was encumbered. So there's an innocent lien holder. That innocent lien holder, under the regulations, must be respected, the innocent lien. So under a public sale, I would necessarily have to pay the innocent
right.
lien holder the proceeds.
If there were surplus?
If there was surplus, in this case there wouldn't be, but if there was surplus, all of that could have been given to the to the debtor, because he's the owner. One of the things that I offered.
Excuse me.
Yes.
If I could, I'd like to follow up again on Judge Thompson's questions, because I think, at least from an outsider looking at this, we've got two distinct questions. One is the scope of the automatic stay under 362B4. The other is, once the issue is at least teed up for the bankruptcy court, why does it matter who runs the auction or the sale of the milk quotas?
Well, that was something I offered to the court in the TRO hearing. I said, let me go through with the auction. I have to sell, the property has to be sold, and I'll deposit the money into the bankruptcy, and you distribute it however you want.
Right.
But the court said that, no. We're going to do it in bankruptcy, we're going to keep it in bankruptcy, we're going to do everything in bankruptcy, and there was even an order to Luis Ruiz to sell the property. That property has been sold in portions very slowly, and in fact, there's a motion that was granted last week that allows Mr. Ruiz to sell his property for a price very much below what was the going rate at the time,
okay.
Which is $2 per.
Why do you care about that?
I don't. The thing is, the
okay.
but it does have an impact on the case going back. In terms of damages and
well, I'll have some questions for counsel for Mr. Ruiz about the theory of damages, but let me see if I have anything else on this.
Well, I'm going to follow up first with what you said, Judge. If you don't mind, I didn't understand what you said. You said the bankruptcy court said let's keep it in house,
yeah.
And it didn't get kept in house. You sold it outside of the constrictions of the bankruptcy court, didn't you?
The agency, once the TRO was issued,
we stopped.
Stayed away from
those sales occurred within the bankruptcy.
Yes, those sales occurred or are
occurring. Sales that have occurred have been within.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, counsel, can I ask you? I'm not asking you to quote the regulation. I'm just asking you a very practical question. Everybody understands why. If somebody's engaging in milk trafficking, you want to revoke their license. You don't want to have unsafe milk out in the marketplace. Once the license is revoked and that person can no longer put unsafe milk into the marketplace, is there some additional public interest in transferring the quota? Again, not from a rate, just practically tell me what is Oral's view and what your public interest is in making sure the quota is then transferred.
Well, Your Honor, the quota is the vehicle through which the fraud was committed, right? And so if it goes back to cessation, so you would have to call the criminal bar back in and tell them that once the cessation of the bad acts have stopped, right? Once it's stopped, then the rest is, you know, fine. The property is no longer a threat, right? That's not what this court has said. That's not what the...
So just very practically what you're saying is there's still a risk that while the person who's lost their license has the quota, they'll just keep doing whatever that they were doing before that was problematic. Is that just practically?
No, practically it is. Once the license is revoked, the quota in the hands of the farmer is only property and would have to be disposed of, but in enforcement actions, that property that was used in the fraud is subject to the police power. And that's the idea behind 362b-4 that says, that includes enforcement of non-money judgments. And that part, it's because it's so intertwined, the property and the license, both have to go. And that's
does Oral want the quota to be back in use? Does it have an interest in making sure that
it doesn't,
is back in the marketplace?
The quota can, it should come back in the hands of an authorized, licensed farmer, because that quota is used to inject milk into the system, right? So, yes, but not in the hands of the wrongdoer, right? My time is done and I didn't reserve. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
At this time, if counsel for the appellee would please introduce himself on the record to begin.
Good morning. If I may please the court, Melberga Justiniano, on behalf of the plaintiff in this case and appellee in this case, Mr. Luis Manuel Rizuiz. Your Honor, briefly spoke with broader counsel, and I want to make clear some points there and to go back. The reasons that bring us here today is that Unit Bonararia decided to do a notice of public sale without even asking for the bankruptcy for a lien. First thing is that Oril never went and filed a 362 motion or motion for relief of stay. It by itself decided, I'm gonna publish this notice of public sale and I'm going to decide how things are going to be done. First of all, Mr. Ruiz.
If there's an exception, does it need to file a motion for relief from the stay? I know you think the exception doesn't apply. But if it does apply?
Well, it doesn't. If it
does apply, do they need to file a motion to lift the stay?
If the exception applies, it does not have to file a motion. But in this specific case, to get this into context, Mr. Ruiz owned, at that time, 63,000 liters, and Oril only intended to dispose of 56,000. He never said what he wanted to do with the other 7,000.
Great, but Mr. Ruiz had plenty of opportunity to dispose of these quotas himself after the final decision by the Puerto Rican Supreme Court, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why didn't he?
He was trying to sell the quota, but at the time he was trying to maximize whatever proceeds he could get from the quota to pay his creditors, because what Oril did was try to decide over a confirmed plan, over a post-confirmation modification of a plan, what was going to happen with property of the state, funds received from selling that property, and or even went as far as to say that Mr. Ruiz was obligated to pay the cost of this public sale and to pay whatever the cost related to that. And at that time, it didn't even have an agreement with the creditor as to what to do with the funds. So he was going to be left there. And well, he's got, you're responsible for any unsecured portion. And that's overruling a confirmed plan.
What? Sorry, what?
That's overruling.
Do we have the plan in our record? What did the plan say about disposing of the quotes?
The original plan, Your Honor, stated that he was, Mr. Luis was supposed to do monthly payments to his creditors. And at that time.
Okay, the question, did the plan deal with quotes?
Yes, Your Honor.
What did it say about it?
It stated the plan, the claim was for a bigger amount of what was eventually negotiated as a value of collateral, and it included the quota as part of his collateral, and it included monthly payments toward that loan. It never stated that Luis Ruiz has to dispose of the quota, because when the plan was...
Do you think the bankruptcy court has the power to overrule or real as to whether the quota should be disposed of?
No, Your Honor, the bankruptcy court only wanted orderly disposal of the quota that took into consideration all creditors and all affected parties and didn't overrule a previously confirmed plan.
Okay, I'm having trouble about overruling a previously confirmed plan in what way?
Because Oriel's intention was to dispose of the quota and leave the debtor with whatever deficiency arose.
Well, we just heard Oriel tell us they were going to auction the quotas and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe there's a deficiency, maybe there's not.
And how
they don't care.
And how did Oriel knew who was the lien holder and what and who was supposed to be paid if he didn't come to a bankruptcy court and at least take a look at the plan and just auction and let things fall, whatever. That's the reason. We're not contesting that.
Counsel, can I ask you, when Mr. Ruiz failed to sell within 60 days himself, within 60 days of the final license revocation, as you understand commonwealth law, did Oriel have any discretion about whether to auction off those quotas? Because they were absolutely no use to Mr. Ruiz at that
point. Mr. Ruiz could no longer use the quota. He only wanted to dispose
the quota. Did Oriel have any, discretion in whether it would dispose, transfer those quotas?
Since Mr. Ruiz was in a bankruptcy, active bankruptcy case, with a confirmed plan, at least Oriel had to request a leave from the court and stated what the rules were.
That's your conclusion. I understand that. Let me ask, what are the damages claimed here? I'm trying to understand how this is possibly a damages claim.
Your Honor, we believe that Oriel violated the automatic stay by trying to sell El Cora, and he did it with knowledge. Oriel was actively...
That's not my question. My question is what consequences, what damages could have resulted from them simply trying to... They think they have the legal right to do that. They may well be right, but if they're wrong, what damages did Mr. Ruiz suffer?
Okay, if the Cora is sold for whatever...
It has not been sold.
Sorry, Your Honor.
It has not been sold, right? Not certainly not by Oriel.
No.
So how does their having announced this public auction cause monetary damage to Mr. Ruiz or his bankruptcy estate?
If it had been sold, it would have an impact on the plan.
So you're not saying there are any actual damages?
I thought counsel, the argument was that it was basically attorney's fees. Did I misunderstand that? Because he had
the
adversary proceeding?
Yes, Your Honor, sorry, I apologize. The cost of litigating this, but at the end of the day, the TRO was filed because if Oriel had gone with his sale, it would have an impact on the whole bankruptcy estate. But the bankruptcy court stopped the sale with the TRO, with the temporary restraining order, so the sale didn't go through. That's a fact.
The bankruptcy court addressed constitutional claims and qualified immunity.
Yes, Your Honor.
What is that about?
In the adversary proceeding, the Orioles administrator was included in his personal capacity, and that's the bankruptcy stated that he had qualified immunity as to what he did. So, and we didn't appeal that, so it's so far.
There's no constitutional claim here, is there?
Well, it was the property because it was trying to sell property, but basically.
Well, nobody was trying to take property without due process of law, and none was taken, correct?
But at least we know.
Okay. I guess the basic problem I'm having with your position under the text of B4, we don't have a money judgment. So what we've got is enforcement of a judgment, since under Commonwealth law, revocation of a license necessarily results in disposal of quotas, right?
Yes.
So I understand there might be some practical reasons why one might choose to bifurcate between license and quotas, but they're all part of the consequences of this enforcement of the same judgment, right?
Yes, it has to be disposed.
So that sure looks like B4 applies. You can still have a tug of war between Oriole and the bankruptcy court over who gets to manage this, but without any questions about automatic stay or contempt or attorney's fees.
You know, the issue is that specifically with Cornelier, there was property that was doing a damage to the health, and it's an issue of public safety. Here, it's not. It's a dormant quota.
The text of the law is about enforcement of a judgment. And enforcement under Commonwealth law here includes disposal of the quotas, right?
Yes. But favoring one creditor over another is an issue of a bankruptcy court.
I understand why you might get into this tug of war, but your claim was very specific. Not that the bankruptcy court should step in, but that Oriel was acting in contempt of the bankruptcy court, correct?
Yes,
I don't see how that works.
It was a violation of the state. Everything was brought to because selling of property.
It was all part of the enforcement of the judgment.
Yes.
What am I missing?
Well, the issue is that since Mr. Luis Ruiz is in a bankruptcy state, his property is in a bankruptcy state. Disposition of property has to be done through a bankruptcy court, and he had a confirmed plan. That's basically it. My time is over.
You can finish it.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he had a confirmed plan. He had an order of debts and creditors to be paid, and a notice of public sale by an administrative agency that has no knowledge of that and supersedes whatever the bankruptcy had decided in a plan. It's basically a decision that has to be done by the bankruptcy court, not by an administrative agency. Because the notice of sale was really specific. What's to be done with the funds, who was going to pay for what, who was responsible for paying any deficiency. And that's not just disposing of the quota and bringing the funds to a bankruptcy court. That's broader decision, and that's taking the power of the bankruptcy court into the hands of Oriel.
Just one quick question. Did you seek this relief in the bankruptcy court, this relief for damages?
Yes, Your Honor. We filed the adversary with the temporary restraining order, and the bankruptcy court granted the temporary restraining order, and Oriel filed a motion for summary judgment in the adversary. And our cross motion for summary judgment was granted and decided that there was a violation of the automatic stay and that the police power did not apply. We went to a district court and now it's in Your Honor's hands.
No, I mean, your request for attorney's fees.
No, it has not been done yet.
Make the request to the bankruptcy court for attorney's fees?
Yes, in the complaint, there's a request for attorney's fees and the cost of this.
In other words, did you bring to the court's attention, the bankruptcy court's attention, that the court ruled in your favor that you were still seeking attorney's fees?
The ruling of the bankruptcy court was that there was a violation of the automatic stay and that a hearing for damages will take place. And that's when the appeal came to the district court and then to this honorable court. So there has not been a hearing about damages or a ruling about attorney's fees in favor of against either party.
But you're seeking that relief from us.
No, I'm not really requesting right that. Here as an appellee. This case is basically the issue about the 362 violation on the application of the police power.
But the decision below of the bankruptcy court was that the damages would be looked at.
Yes, you are right.
At a later proceeding.
Yes, because this was done by summary judgment.
Right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes arguments in this case.